gentlemen, we met via Twitter, and I'm very honored, first and foremost, to have met you guys. Because, you know, based on what I do as a blues musician and a folklorist for blues history and African-American culture, this mysterious person in your family, someone who should be celebrated, who is celebrated, and should be celebrated even more. Would you kindly tell us who this relative is?
This relative, thanks for having us, first of all. This relative, his given name is William Bunch. He's professionally known as Petey Wheatstraw.
Now, wait a second. James, what's your last name?
Bunch.
So you share names with Petey?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to make that clear. Y'all hear what's going on here and the realness of this. You're talking to direct descendants of Petey Wheatstraw. Now, the story is very interesting. I would like you to tell us how you found out that you were related to Petey Wheatstraw, and who are you to him? Are you his cousin, brother?
I'm one of 13 of his great nephews, and it's a very mysterious story, and we're glad to have the opportunity to share this with you and your listening audience. Back in the mid-90s, I had a brother, one of Petey's great nephews, was attending the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. One sunny day, he was standing outside of the library. He was exiting the library, and a gentleman walked up to him with a newspaper article. And he asked him, "Are you related to William Bunch?" Now, my brother thought, "Well, of course I am. That's my brother's son." My brother thought it was his nephew.
Right.
Then the gentleman shared the article with him. He said, "No, I'm not talking about your nephew. I'm talking about this gentleman." So my brother read the article, and he thought, "Well, I don't know that fella." So my brother then took that newspaper article home with him, back to his dorm room, and put it away. He never mentioned this to anyone. 2 years later, he brought that very newspaper article home to our parents. He shared the article with our parents and asked our parents, "Are we related to this gentleman?" And at that time, our parents, Addie Bunch and Jewel Bunch, related to him, "Yes, that was you guys' great uncle."
Wow.
And so that's when this journey started. You know, we wanted to, you know as much about him as we possibly could, you know, and we began to fill our this empty vessel, you know, with the knowledge of who he was to us and how he was related to us.
Wow, that's deep. Now, you also shared something else with me that I have to bring up, because that is a big part of blues culture, blues nostalgia, and the myth of the devil in the blues. Now, there's a reason why you guys just found out that Petey Wheatstraw was your relative and that no one knew. Share that with us, please.
Sure. The reason why this was held from us was because Petey's father, James Bunch, and my great-grandfather, James Bunch, was very religious. You know, during this time, Petey was a child of the Depression era, and everybody was suffering then, of course, throughout America.
Right.
But my great-grandfather was very religious, church-going people, Bible thumpers, if you will. And so out of his children, he wanted to make sure that they all went to church and they got to know God. And so when Petey, I assume, became musical and wanted to play this blues, stuff that he probably heard in local juke joints and that sort of thing, my great-grandfather said no, and he forbade Petey to do it. Well, naturally, you know, if you got a God-given talent, you're going to use it. So Petey began to use his talent going against his father. And so he couldn't control Petey because Petey left home at an early age. But he did control his other brothers and sisters and forbade them to even, you know, talk about Petey, speak about him around the home. And so that carried into the later descendants, my father's. And so my father, when we were growing up, he never spoke of Petey. Our mother never spoke of him. But as a little boy, I remember, you know, I would hear people say, when I would go out amongst friends, I'm Petey Wheatstraw, the devil's son-in-law. And we would just giggle and thought, man, that's funny. But we had no idea he was our relative.
Wow.
And so that's why it took all of these decades for us to learn about our great uncle and his contribution to not only blues here in America, but worldwide.
That's right. He's a big cat. But I just have to bring home again that you guys are living the actual history of the blues. You know what I mean? Because it was frowned upon by certain people in the community. So this is like you guys are getting real history. Y'all better be taking out your pencils and papers and writing some notes down. How has this journey, learning that Petey Wheatstraw, who's actually, I mean, this guy's a phenomenal musician and quite relevant in the blues community to this day. How has this journey changed your life?
Well, it's been, you know, quite an inspiration. I'll say it like this because, you know, particularly today with social media, I mean, there's so much, you know, and his reach now is so vast, you know, particularly as it relates to, you know, the video, his music, you know, and you can go online and access it. You can go online now and buy some of his music. And so what we have started on and how this has affected us is, you know, once we got to know our relations, you know, with him, our thing was then, okay, then we heard about all these great artists. We've seen other artists receive awards for their contribution. And so we want to make certain, because of the way he was treated in the past, you know, throughout his life, the way his life ended, the way this mystery was kept, you know, away from his relatives, his descendants now. So we want to make certain that he receives all of the necessary awards that's due to him for his contribution. And so we started this journey, you know, going on 15 years now. So
wow.
Trying to have him recognized with one of the most prestigious awards for musicians, and that's the Grammy.
Absolutely.
And so, right, we've reached out, you know, we've started to reach out to folks at the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, and we were told to do certain things in order to get this track started right. And so it's been very inspirational. You know, when we talk to people like yourself, we are inspired because we're just blown away, you know, with his impact that he's had on folks. Of all races.
Right. He's definitely inspired a lot of guitar players and singers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I want to bring something up that I also find extremely important. And I really commend you guys for doing this. Because in most cases like this, the person who owns the rights to the music or images of these original bluesmen from the past usually is not a family member, and 9 times out of 10 swindled these rights away from the family. Now, you guys own his music rights, correct?
Absolutely. Petey has a music catalog of 161 songs, and we own the publishing rights to all of those songs.
That's really a blessing. That's really huge. I have to say, this might be the first, I really think this is the first time I've heard that the family was able to do that. Do you care to share with us the process that was? Was it hard? I know it's a victory.
Right, right. Well, what we did was, once we, started looking into, who he was, where he was living at the time of his death, we hired an attorney. And that attorney out of Little Rock, Arkansas, did an estate search. And in that search, my great uncle had, we found that he had a son, and of course he was married. But in his search, this attorney found that they were not living, and that there were no other living heirs except the oldest living heir at the time was my father, Mr. Jewel Bunch. And currently today, he's 88 years old. He's still living.
God bless.
And so Petey's estate fell to him. And with that, we then began to reach out to BMI, ASCAP, and BMI signed us up as the people who own the publishing rights for Petey's music. And it's been that way now for the last 15 years or so.
Wow, that is huge. That's one big victory for all of us, musicians, entertainers. So many people don't own their work themselves. That's huge. Now, just on a side note, were you named after your great-grandpa?
No, I've asked my mother that question, and they said no, I wasn't.
Okay, so now, Rico, you are the social media guy in this.
And yes, me and my wife, Letitia Doty, we both share the load on social media. But I'm more accessible to it. But yeah, but we both share the load on social media.
Okay, so explain to the good folks where or how you fit in. Are you a relative of Petey? How does this work?
I'm actually James' son-in-law. I married his daughter, Letitia. So that's how I came in the family.
Okay, so now, why, what made this important to you? Because you were the one who actually reached out to me. What made this important to you to help your father-in-law and your family preserve this very important legacy?
Well, it's kind of funny, but before I even met Letitia, my wife, before I even met her, I was a manager at a CD and tape shop in Baton Rouge, where I'm from, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Oh, all right. God bless. My uncle, a couple of my uncles lived there, and aunts.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. All right. So I met Letitia when she came into the store one day, did a little game, rapped a little game to her. And, hey man, don't try to hit me, Dad, okay? But, we started talking, and she told me then about, did we have any Petey Wheatstraw music? And that was just me just talking to her before I even, wanted to start anything with her. And she was asking, do we have any Petey Wheatstraw music? And I was like, Petey Wheatstraw? I said, you mean like Rudy Ray Moore?
Wow.
And she's like, no Rudy Ray, but that's the only Petey Wheatstraw I ever heard of. And she's like, no, a blues musician. I said, nah, I never heard of him. And so, I never thought anything about it ever since then. And so then when we finally got married, and I guess I was privileged to be into the fold of this, of this music that he tried to do, then I started reading about him. I started, researching, listening to his music, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
This is something awesome. Yeah. Now, with the fast forward to doing the social media, there's something I just thought of on a whim. I said, well, wait a minute. What is the best way to get his music and is through social media? So that's when I started the Twitter, Instagram, and even a Facebook page, and even the GoFundMe account with the music
right.
to relaunch it, you know, to the world, to the masses. And so that's where I came into that, you know. So now I guess I'm officially a bunch now. So I guess I can say he's my great uncle.
That's right, and you're the PR person. So we're going to talk about that GoFundMe page, but I'm happy you brought up the Rudy Ray Moe, K.A. Dolemite movie, The Devil's Son-in-Law, because that was one of my favorite movies at a very early age, like 9 or 10, right? Because I'm a blaxploitation connoisseur, so to speak. But the irony is most people do not know that was based off of Petey Wheatstraw, the blues musician.
That's right.
You know, and I would like to also use Rico as an example, because most hip-hop generation, from some generation from Motown to Def Jam, does not even understand the role Petey Wheatstraw played in allowing black music, African-American cultured music, to be the predominant music of American history.
You know, as a, he was a phenomenon, and here's why he was a great phenomenon. If you think about it, he grew up in the South, down in Arkansas. He was born in Ripley, Tennessee, but the family later moved to Arkansas. He grew up in the South during the Depression era, and he was an African-American. However, with all of that, he was still able to write and produce more than 160 songs as an African-American during that time. He
right.
was able to move about. He was able to go to the big farms owned by whites, you know, and play at barn dances. So he was able to accomplish a lot,
yes.
you know, during that time, and being
right.
an African-American.
And with all this being said, and Rico brought up the GoFundMe page, James, you brought up the push for the Grammy and the owning of the rights. What is the project now? What do you guys, besides getting him the celebrity, so to speak? Or actually, not the celebrity, the rewards and awards that he rightfully deserves, because many people have not recorded that much music that good. What are you guys looking to do? You have a couple of projects that you want to celebrate, Petey. What are you guys looking to do?
That's correct. I let Rico, my son-in-law, he's in charge of that, so he's going to explain those two projects to us.
Okay. Yeah, we right now we are working on two projects. The first project is more of a intermediate kind of thing. It's like that's the one that's pretty quick that we can get to right now. Is his great nephews. They are musicians, and we're starting a Petey Wheatstraw tribute band that will play all over overseas in Europe and here in America. You know, we're trying to get them out there because they are very talented in music, just like he was. And you know, we want people to see that his bloodline still runs, you know, through them.
That's right.
As far as you know, their music, their persona, everything. That's the first project.
Not to mention, Petey was a gangster.
That's right.
You know from his lyrics, you know he talks about some stuff.
Yeah.
And another side note about that, that's what I want to say earlier. You know how these rappers now have this persona about, you know, they're this and they're that. Just think about what Petey did back then with saying that he's a devil's son-in-law.
Right.
That was very taboo back then. Right?
It absolutely looks.
And, that was his gimmick. You know, people have asked us about that. Because, you know, they sort of look at it as being a dark side.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his father, who didn't understand what he was doing at the time, you know, every artist today got to have a hook.
Yes.
And I believe that was Petey's gimmick to get him the attention that caused him to skyrocket. And when you think about these hip hop artists of today, you know, Rico and I was talking about this just the other day. If we were going to compare Petey with some of today's artists, we would look at hip hop, and two artists stick out. That's Jay-Z and Kanye West.
Mm.
Kanye, because of the bad boy persona, and Petey, if you listen to his lyrics, he was definitely a bad boy.
Yes, indeed.
And Jay-Z, because a lot of people today, you know, a lot of the rappers, Jay-Z's at the top of the game. You know, he's a pinnacle. And a lot of people want to imitate Jay-Z and knock him off the top. And during Petey's time, a lot of people wanted to imitate Petey.
Absolutely.
I.e. Robert Johnson, you know, Robert Nighthawk, folks that he ran with up there, you know, in St. Louis during that time in history.
Mm-hmm. No, you know, I'm happy that you guys brought that up and touched on it, because there is not only a direct parallel between the blues and hip-hop, but like yourselves, the hip-hop is the great-great-grandchild of the blues. You know,
right,
the style is the same. It's born out of lack of resource and oppression. There's no European influences. It's just here now is what we got, and the older folks didn't understand.
You're right. Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of parallels. And by the way, while we're on this topic, and you brought up the Petey Wheatstraw tribute band, that's his great great nephews. There's hip-hop involved in that, isn't there?
Yeah, there is an unofficial project that they did some time ago. And it's a rap song from one of Petey's songs, Trucking Through Traffic. And I haven't put it out there. You know, I haven't done anything with it. It's just, it's in the holster, if you will. Yeah. But, yeah, those guys are very, very talented, and the world, you know, all Petey fans would love to hear these guys play, because they are very, very good.
So now, there's another project that you guys have in the works. Are you at liberty to discuss that, or is that confidential?
No, it's not confidential, because most people that hear this, they might want to get on board. But what we try to do is, And that came from them, the guys who his great great nephews doing, you know, rap songs, and I've already posted two songs that they did with Petey. They did it's almost like they did I wouldn't say a duet, but they both intertwined in one song together.
Mm.
Right, sort of like the Natalie Cole and Nat King Cole.
Dig it.
Yeah, and I posted that on Twitter and Instagram on Petey's page. But it's something like that, and that's a sample of what we're trying to do as far as getting his music out there to the younger audience.
And I want to say too, pardon me, Rico.
All right, go ahead.
On this second project that Rico was about to mention, that's the big push for the Grammy, because I was told by the local NARIS director here in Memphis that in order to get him even nominated for a Grammy, you've got to do something to get his music back out there. And so Rico came up with this idea that he's about to tell you now, and it's called, tentatively called the Wheatstraw Project.
Mm.
Right, yeah, it's called the Wheatstraw Project, and we're trying to get anybody who, you know, who's out there that's digging music, and local guys, enthusiasts of Petey's music, because we want passion on this project. I guess this is a passion project for us, and we want them to put their own twist to one of Petey's songs, whatever song they want to choose that's in his 161 catalog, you know, we want to put their own spin to one of his songs.
Mm. So a 15 track.
Yeah, 15, 20 track, you know, album.
That's very groovy, and it's very necessary, you know what I'm saying? And I know a few that is extremely talented blues musicians that probably would love the opportunity to celebrate Petey, because after this portion of the show, I get straight into just playing blues music, and I get Petey requested, and sometimes I just play him just 'cause.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's great.
You know. So now, are you guys working on a film?
Well, as it relates to the film, we have put out some feelers. You know, the thing about Petey was he was very mysterious. You know, at least we've been left with this mystery. Mm. However, you know, when we talk to people, and in our research, you know, we found that, man, he would make, I mean, his life story would be a great feature film. Now, here's what we've done up to this point. We've had a writer out of Los Angeles to meet with us several years ago, a gentleman, I can't recall his name at the moment, but he met with us about writing, putting together a script. We've also reached out to Mr. Morgan Freeman. He had expressed some interest about 3 years ago in working with us on this project, but you know, nothing ever materialized. You know, we continue to try to reach out to folks, you know, in the film industry. We hadn't had much success since we did the thing with Mr. Freeman, but that is one of our goals. We believe it would be an Oscar winner if we could just get you know, get the right mix of director, actor, and then, you know, the most important thing would be a good script based on his life story.
Right, like Jamie Foxx and Ray.
Absolutely.
No, that's very groovy and very, very necessary. So now, I want to ask some questions about the family. Like, when your brother approached your parents and everything, how's your father taking this? Because you, now, this is part of our history and our culture, right? And they were told not to speak to or about this person. So all these right. old emotions and things are resurfacing. How has that part of the journey been?
Well, you know, as I look back and I think about it, my mother was the one that was more proactive. She would drop these little hints, and here's how she would drop one. You know, she would say, you know, we'd be singing a church song, for instance, mm-hmm. you know, singing a church song there around the house. And she would just blurt out, you know, you guys had a great uncle that used to sing the blues.
Mm.
And we would go, you know, we were young at the time. We thought, well, okay. But that's all we thought. You know, she never said, and hey, this is what he did.
Right.
This is how big a phenomenon he was. We thought she just meant some local guy who would go from a club, you know, back and forth.
Right.
And sang the blues. She never said that he produced albums. She never told us that.
Wow.
And so also we had this, I had an uncle who was married to one of Petey's sisters, a gentleman by the name of Leslie McGuire.
Mm.
Okay, now Leslie McGuire, here's how he's significant. He married my Aunt Mary, and that was the only family that Petey could stay with when he came home to visit.
Wow.
He couldn't stay with none of the other brothers and sisters, my grandfather, but he did stay with Uncle Les, that's what we called him, Uncle Les, and Aunt Mary. And Uncle Les would teach us gospel song. He sung in the gospel choir. Now, we were a very religious family. And so Uncle Les would even drop in, hey, you know, you guys, y'all had a great uncle that used to sing the blues.
Wow.
And we would thought, well, okay, good. But nobody, they didn't take it to, you know, like Paul Harvey, they never told us the rest of the story. It was just simply, hey, you know, you, right, you know, you had this great uncle. Okay, but back to now, when my brother bought this home to the folks, I was living in Baton Rouge at the time. And so, you know, I got a phone call. And I was told that, hey, you know, mother and father is telling us the story about our great uncle, you know, Petey Wheatstraw. I'm thinking, well, I'd have heard that story, you know, about Petey Wheatstraw, the devil's son-in-law. You mean we're related to him? And so they said, yeah. And, you know, and right about then, man, the internet was hitting big. And
wow.
Actually, we got to researching. And we could only come up with that one picture. You've probably seen it.
Yeah.
I'm sure all your fans have seen that one picture. And so we got that. But by now, my great uncle Les, all of Petey's brothers and sisters were dead. And so we couldn't go back. Now, I'm telling you, it's really sad because, you know, so often, man, I recall my uncle, you know, sitting around his house, you know, millions of times, listening to him tell us tales about, you know, Chicago when he used to live up there and all that. But we did not have the knowledge to even say, hey, tell us about Petey Wiestrom.
Wow.
You know, and so we missed that. And I just can imagine, man, you know, some of the things, you know, that he would have told us if we only had the knowledge to even ask.
Right.
We didn't have the knowledge to even ask. Now, our father told us a story that he would remember, that he remembered about Petey. He said, before Petey died, he was 11 years old. He said he saw Petey one time. He remembered it vividly. But it was a white gentleman who came and picked Petey up in a pickup truck to take him to do a barn dance. He said he remembered that very vividly. And so, you know, and I try to get him to recall stuff, but, you know, he's at 88 now.
Right.
And he just, you know, he just can't. And so that's one of the things, man, you know, I really feel bad about. You know, we can never get that back. I mean, we had all these individuals. Petey had four sisters and, you know, three brothers. It was eight of them.
Mm.
And, man, you know, they all lived there around us. At least most of them did. But we just didn't have the knowledge, man, to even ask. And I guess, you know, their father had instilled in them.
Wow. And, you know, that's real old school parenting. He's like, you know,
right.
He's just real strict, and what says goes, there's no questions asked.
Right.
Wow. Well, geez, and you brought something up I wanted to discuss as well, because there's a lot of these quote-unquote blues enthusiasts that are just as worse as the enthusiasts that have ownership of the music. They manipulate family members of these artists out of really personal pictures, and they won't release it unless there's a lot of money involved. So now, do you have, or are you still looking, or the picture aspect of Petey has transcended with the aunts and uncles and grandparents?
No, we don't have any additional pictures of Petey Wiestrom. That's it. That's the only one.
Wow.
Now, we're looking, and the reason why I say that is, you know, Petey was signed to Vocalion Records, and I think a company called Decca Records out of Chicago. And I just assume, man, there has to be something, you know, in a vault somewhere. We're just assuming that.
No, you're right.
And here's one of the reasons why I was told by some folks, you know, in my research, why one reason why there aren't any pictures of Petey. Okay, well, we know the family part of it.
Right.
You know, apparently when he came home, I don't know whether they didn't have money to buy cameras or, but they never took pictures. Now, I have pictures of my aunts and uncles. No, the other is my grandfather. Okay, but there's no pictures of Petey.
Mm.
Now, as it relates to him performing, this is what I was told. That back then, although he performed in front of a lot of whites, it was taboo for whites to take pictures of black artists during that time. Now, I don't know if that's factual or not, but that's what I was told.
Hmm. You know, that's not crazy, because most of the pictures of artists around that time and even before only came from folklorists.
Mm-hmm.
That's not crazy. The only two sets of people that would have any pictures would be Lomax type people, like, you know, the Lomaxes, Alan Lomax and stuff like this, or the record labels, like you said, because they took pictures of their artists.
Right, that's right.
To the audience, you just got a piece of history right now, and a reason why there may not be a lot of pictures of the blues legends that you love so much that you've been looking for, and that's what the show is about. Now, with all that being said, how is the GoFundMe campaign going, and what are you guys doing to push it?
Well, right now, I don't think we're doing it. The only thing I'm doing is I'm uploading just songs that the great nephews have done, and I'm putting it out there. And I'm also explaining why we're doing this, because, you know, it's GoFundMe, and I understand, you know, people put stuff out there and say, hey, I want $10,000 to get my car clean or for a new car. And I understand people might not be so, you know, inclined to give money for a cause. So that's why I'm trying to put more information about his life, who he is, and that we are actually family of Petey Wheatstraw. So, you know, so people who love Petey and Wheatstraw maybe donate to make this happen. Mm. You know, so I will update, you know, once a week to say what's going on, how we're doing, what we're doing, in order to make sure that people know that this is real. What we're doing is real, and this is not, you know, a sham or a count or anything.
Right,
and
right.
That's why I'm glad that you're bringing us on here to right. let us know that we are, well.
Right, coming on yeah, the show.
Right, that there is real descendants out there that who are actually trying to make his music known to the masses.
Right, that this is legitimate. You know, I had a
conversation
with a fellow blues brother of mine about the fact that those that are descendants of a lot of these people have either passed on or about to. So it's like it's not only an honor but a breath of fresh air to come across you guys, because you want to be able to tell your great uncle's story. Your great-great-uncle's story. You don't want anyone else telling their version of the story.
Right.
You know, now, with that being said, this is what I'm going to ask you right now. If you had the opportunity to talk to someone who can donate to the cause or fund the cause or what have you, what would you tell them? Or why would you tell them this is really important to you to get this done?
Here's what I would say to you know, someone, a benefactor, if you will. You know, our history is very important. Our history, African-American history, is part of American history. You know, the blues, we brought the blues forward. Through a number of ways, during the Depression times, during slavery, you know, every hard cycle in America, you know, Black Americans, African Americans was there. And so I would say to them, you know, here's a great opportunity for you to show how, as African Americans, we contributed to this great country. Blues is known not only here in America, but worldwide. And Petey Wheatstraw was one of the originators, if you will, of this great genre of music. And I believe, you know, it would be to the detriment of history, particularly musical history, if he did not get his just rewards, his recognition. And so that's why we're asking people, you know, to support what we're trying to do so that he can get that Grammy Award and so to realize his greatness. And we believe that this would be a great recognition for our great uncle.
Mm.
And to piggyback on that, I speak for my father-in-law, that one of the biggest accomplishments right now for the living is to see my grandfather-in-law, or I'm just going to say my grandfather, to accept that award in honor of Petey. That is the biggest accomplishment that we are looking for this. That's why we're doing this. You know, that's why I'm you know, all in on this project, because I believe in it so much. Even as an outsider, I believe this project is very much needed, not only for African-American culture, but for American culture as well, because if you know back then, blues was pretty much taboo to everybody, to Caucasian Americans, because they couldn't just outright say, oh, yes, I listen to PD music. You know, it right. had to be something that, that had to be low-key into doing.
Right. And I also wanted to mention, since we're on this subject, you know, recently, you know, President Obama, you know, they opened up the African American Museum in Washington, D.C. And one of the first things I had Rico do, my social media guru, was to Google to see if they had anything on Petey Wheatstraw in there. And naturally, they didn't, of course. But, you know, with that Grammy, I think we could get him in there, you know, with the Grammy Award. And it just so happened, man, that the director of the African American Museum is Dr. Lonnie Bunch.
Wow.
No relations, I don't think.
You never
but
know.
He's the director. Right, that's right. We don't know.
Well, look, with your grandfather walking across, with your father walking across that stage, collecting and receiving that Grammy in the name of Petey Wheatstraw, I know Petey would be somewhere smiling.
Absolutely.
Because not even for the fact that he got the award, but a relative was able to receive the award for him. Because I'm quite sure as much and as great as an artist he was, it had to bother him to be estranged from the family. So for a family member to be able right. to receive that, that's almost like the full circle, you know?
Right, right.
And the world needs to see that. And I'm going to piggyback on both of your statements because this is what this platform is about.
Mm-hmm.
African-American history is extremely important and is American history. And there would be no Elvis. There would be no, what's this dude, Great Balls of Fire, Jerry Lee Lewis. Right.
Louis Van Nader.
That's right. They, you know, him and his preaching brother.
Jimmy Swaggart.
That's right. I told you. There would be none of these folk without the likeness of Petey Wheatstraw and cats mm-hmm. like him. You know? And I'll just take it a step further. That music documented our experience on this land, good, bad, indifferent, right. and entertainment-wise. So this is really important. It needs to be told and it needs to be out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, of course.
So now, when can we expect an album? What's going on here?
Well, like I said, it's all about getting the people in place, finding a studio. Because I'm going to be honest, and I hope I can say this, Dad, without you getting mad at me. But we're working people. I have a little knowledge of the music industry, but I know, for what I do know is, everything costs money.
Yeah.
Studio time, the artists, everybody costs money. And so right now we're in the planning stage of it, even to reach out to the people who will be interested in doing this project. You know, it could be taxing, and you know, it could.
And getting the resources to yeah. GoFundMe page.
Right, right.
The importance of that.
Yeah, that's the reason why. Because, that's the reason why I was saying that I post a lot of stuff on there to make sure that they know that we are family descendants from PD, so they won't think that this is just a fake account, that somebody just want money.
Right.
No, the money is just to get PD's name out there.
So tell people the links where they can get the Twitter, where they can go to the GoFundMe page, and if you have a website.
Okay. Right now, the Twitter page, the Twitter is, it's at Petey Wheatstraw, without the W, because, you know, Twitter only gives you so many characters. So it's just Petey Wheatstraw without the W. You know, and the GoFundMe is GoFundMe/ Petey Wheatstraw. And the Instagram, we got some stuff on Instagram, is the real Petey Wheatstraw.
Mm. You guys really need to go out and support this. Do you guys have a website?
No, we don't have a website as of yet, but we are working on it. You know. We also do have a Facebook fan page, and it's Petey Wheatstraw. Get a Grammy for Petey Wheatstraw.
So you have a Facebook page to push the agenda of the Grammy.
It's basically it's a fan page because it's help Petey Wheatstraw, William Bunny get a Grammy. Because this is a project that I think everybody who loves blues, who loves a good American story, can get behind.
Absolutely.
Right.
And for what it's worth, I'll say it again. So many people love his music and love the story behind the music in terms of the devil's son-in-law and things of this nature. This is your opportunity. Now, we're about to wrap up. And first and foremost, I want to say yet again, it was truly an honor rapping with you gentlemen and finding out this history about your family.
Same here, man. We enjoyed being on here. We thank you for reaching out to help us get Petey's story out there.
Right. And we think this is just one of the avenues, and we're very grateful, for this opportunity. And we think, your audience is very interested in hearing our story, and we're glad to bring it.
Groovy. And with that being said, if there was one last thing that you wanted people to know about either Petey or how this journey in learning your connection to Petey affected you and it's affecting you, what would that be?
For me, this would be a labor of love. And we're hoping and praying that the end result will be the Grammy Award, which we believe, if we receive the Grammy Award, that would mean we have reintroduced his music for another generation of fans. And so that, to me, would be a great accomplishment for William Bunch, the artist professionally known as Petey Wheatstraw.
Mm. And my takeaway is, it's just plain and simple, just by hearing this story, to all your listeners, ask your parents everything. Get it out of them. You don't know who you're related to and who you might know in your family. Because now my parents are dead and gone. I can't ask them who I'm related to. I could be related to somebody, president or something, for all I know.
Wow. but that's the truth. That's the truth. It's funny. My wife and I discuss that all the time because our grandparents has passed. So I have one remaining. So I stay on top of him because you really never know. You never know. Gentlemen, this has been awesome. This has been true blues worthy.
Real great.
All right. So y'all know what it is. Y'all been bluesing with Jack Dapper Blues. My guests, James Bunch, Rico Dottie. These are relatives of the late, great William Bunch, K.A. Petey Wheatstraw. Stay on top of it. Go to the fan page on Facebook. Go to the GoFundMe page. Follow them on Twitter and Instagram. And stay tuned, because you know what? I think I'm going to be playing some Petey this evening.